Well, good morning. excuse me, once again, my name is Billy Haynes. And for those of you who don't know me, I want to say good morning, in particular to those of you who are watching at home. And if you are local, I want you to know you have a standing invitation to be here in person with us. It feels nice this morning, doesn't it? We are praying for good weather for the month of September. And I just want to remind you once again, we do intend to be outside for worship through September and part of October as well. Your elders met this week. They made some plans for communion, which will be served the last Sunday in September. So you can check your inbox in particular for some details on that and lots of other things in the works for the fall. Well, we finished up our summer sermon series last Sunday, Rooted. Next Sunday, I want to remind you, the fall sermon series, Ten Commandments. Really looking forward to this series and getting into that. This week, preaching a standalone sermon, I want to address our vision for the 2020-2021 school year coming up. And I can give it to you in two words: forward together. Forward together. Now, I was coming up to church Friday morning, and I saw out in front of the Avengrove Charter School, which is less than a mile south of the church, a big rock that said Forward Together. So I'm really happy that this thing is catching on everywhere. No, I want you to know, though, this is not our attempt to be cute. This is not an attempt to be stylish, as if we need some sort of slick slogan. We've been praying. We've been asking the Lord to give us direction, to give us a vision. Where are we going? Vision is important, right? Vision is important. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Your church leadership actually has been engaged in a pretty deep visioning process for more than a year now. Praying, seeking a direction from the Lord. We actually brought in a church consultant, some of you maybe knew this, a year ago now, who gave us kind of an outside perspective, an outside set of eyes to help us to better understand where we are as a church. We conducted a survey. Many of you participated in that. We did interviews. We had meetings, lots of prayer, and those pieces were finally coming together back in March. We had a clarified vision. We had laid out a five-year ministry plan. We were in the process in March of rolling that out to our ministry leaders when, do you remember what happened in March? The real March madness struck. And so what we're doing right now is just taking some more time to evaluate, to assess. Our context has changed. So we've been asking God just over the next year, over the next year, God, where is it that you would have us go? And this was the word we feel like we have from him. It's forward. Forward. It comes from Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. This is what the sermon will be on this morning. God says to Moses, tell the people of Israel to go forward. Remember Israel in slavery for over 400 years in Egypt. God raised up Moses. Moses enters into some extended negotiating with Pharaoh. Remember that? The plagues. Pharaoh finally says, go. They go. Pharaoh changes his mind. He sends the army after them. The people are fleeing through the wilderness. They come to the Red Sea, and all of a sudden they're stuck. They're stuck. They're looking at the army that's about to devour them, looking into the sea in which they're certain perhaps they would drown. They're stuck. And God says, go forward. Go forward. What an appropriate word. What an appropriate word for us right now in this context. So many individuals, organizations, yes, even churches, right, are feeling stuck. Maybe you relate to that even personally, frozen with indecision. The path forward seems so uncertain. The future is scary, and yet God calls his people to move forward in faith, forward together in faith, to step into the unknown and to actually trust him. And so we're going to unpack this morning the context around these words that God says. Tell the people of Israel to move forward. Tell them to move forward. The passage this morning, Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 to 18, that's printed in your bulletin. You can bring it up on your phone. And let's pray. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this time together And Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your faithfulness to Cornerstone and for the ways that you form us and shape us Sunday after Sunday. We thank you for the means of grace that you've given us to remind us of what is good and what is true. Lord, we thank you that that you've not left us alone, but your work continues. And even now, as we hear your word read and hear it preached, God, we pray that you would send forth your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that your Spirit would shine a light on your word, shine that light into the darkness of our hearts, get a hold of us once again. Lord, show us where our faith needs to be encouraged. And Lord, move us forward, we pray. Move us forward as individuals. Move us forward as a church. We are eager to be the people of God that you've called us to be. And so meet us now. Meet us through this appointed means that you've given us through your holy word. We pray this in the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So our passage once again is Exodus chapter 14. Remember once again, Israel in slavery, out of slavery, in the wilderness. Pharaoh and his army are hot on their heels, and that's where we'll pick up the story. It's Exodus chapter 14. We're going to begin in verse 10. Hear God's word. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we have said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord." Let me read that again. Moses said to the people, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I've gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Amen. Amen. What a predicament God's people found themselves in. Can you put yourself there for a moment? Can you imagine what that was like for them to be there? You see the army closing in on you. You're looking out over the sea, wondering how this is going to work out. What was that like? Actually, I want you to do this. Turn to the person you're sitting with right now. In a word or two, how would you describe their situation? Actually, do that. Do that at home right now. And a word or two. All right, what you get? Desperate, hopeless, terrified, stuck, impossible, right? Can you feel that? You need to feel that as we come into God's word this morning. You need to feel what they were feeling. And on top of that, did you get this? They were angry. They were angry. And who'd they take their anger out on? They went to their leader. All right, they went to Moses. You know, "What were you thinking, Moses, taking us out of slavery? Man, we loved it there. Oh, what a nice life we had there. What are we going to do now, Moses? We can't go back, all right? The Egyptians are going to kill us. We can't stay where we are. The Egyptians are going to kill us, right? There's no way out." Can you relate to that? How many of you maybe have experienced that during COVID-19, that feeling of just being stuck? There's no way out. It's hard to even imagine any scenario where this just works itself out. Moses stands up to address the people. Verse 13. You following along with me? Verse 13. It says, "Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. He says, don't be afraid. Now, can you imagine how shocking these words must have been for God's people to hear? They're convinced they're about to die. And Moses says, don't be afraid. Here's the plan. Don't be afraid. Fear not. And what's most interesting, though, is what Moses doesn't say next. See, he doesn't say, hey, Israel, hey, Cornerstone, don't be afraid. Those Egyptians aren't as big and as bad as we think they are. They're not that strong. Hey, maybe their chariot wheels will get stuck in the sand. What we need to do here is think positively, all right? Don't be afraid. Just think positively. This is sometimes how we deal with problems in our life, isn't it? We seek to minimize our issues. Can I stop right now? Am I getting feedback at home, or is it just where I'm standing right here? Should I move forward? Should I go forward? Here we go, pray. Let's cut that out of the video. Did I move forward enough? The Lord is really calling me to obedience in this sermon. We're good. All right, we'll see. Hopefully that's not driving you crazy here. A lot of preachers like to hear their own voice, but when you stand too close to these microphones, I hear my own voice. I don't like to hear my own voice. Where were we? Focus, Billy. It's interesting what he doesn't say, right? He doesn't say, don't be afraid, it's all going to work out, let's just think positively. We tend to do that, don't we? We tend to do that when we're afraid. We say, I'm just not going to think about my problems. I'm not going to think about it. I just want to think positively. I'm going to envision the success that I want to have. That's not what Moses says. What's he say here? Look at the passage with me. What does Moses say? He says, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord. What is it that will cast out our fear? What is it that casts out our worry? What is it that casts out our anxiety? It's not ignoring our problems. It's not looking the other way. It's not sticking your head in the sand. It's having a bigger view of God. Did you hear me? It's having a bigger view of who God is. He says, don't be afraid and see the salvation of the Lord. Wow, that's what we need. That's what I need. Not ignoring your problems, having a bigger view of who God is. Now it's God's turn to speak. Verse 15. If what Moses has to say is shocking, don't be afraid. What God has to say must have seemed crazy. Verse 15. The Lord says to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people to go forward. What's he saying? God says, stop talking to me and move. Move forward. Move forward where? Move forward how? Into the sea? All right, that's the plan? Can you imagine how absolutely terrifying this must have been for God's people to hear? Just go. Just go. And I know, Moses is about to part the Red Sea. And here's my guess, at least if I'd been there. I'm more terrified now than I was before. You want me to walk between two walls of water? I'll take my chance of swimming, right? This is frightening. This is frightening. The way out is to move forward, right? The way out for God's people is to move forward, to keep going. Greg Baker, thank you for that testimony this morning. To not give up, to keep moving. 15 years ago, My wife and I went to the Grand Canyon. Beautiful place. Many of you maybe been there. Mile deep canyon, and I got the brilliant idea to run to the bottom of the canyon and back. I thought, how hard could it be? It's a mile deep, about 10 miles of trail. Leave after breakfast. I'll be back by lunch. I showed up after breakfast. Some of you who've been there have seen this. There's actual signs that tell you, don't try to go to the bottom of the canyon and back, or you'll die, right? I'm not making this up. They actually have pictures of folks who have tried it and have died. I thought to myself, well, they don't have the peak physical conditioning of a young 20-something-year-old like myself. I'll just go halfway. down and back up. If all the way down and back will kill me, I'll just go halfway down and back up. And so off I went, and I was a few miles into the run thinking, what is so hard on this? It was really nice going down. I ran 4 or 5 miles down into the canyon, and then it was time to turn around and come back up. And that's when the fun really began. And I remember at some point just thinking, what am I going to do? What have I gotten myself into? I can't go back down. There's nothing back down there. I can't stay where I am. The way out is to move forward, right? The way out is to move forward. It's just putting one foot in front of the other, right? That's where God's people are in this situation. The way out is to move forward. There is no other choice. It is to move forward. That's God's word for his people. I believe that's God's word for us as well, as to move forward. You can't stay where you are. You can't go back to the way things used to be. We must move forward. I want to share with you, with the short time that I have left, three things that Israel needed in order to move forward. If you're taking notes, these are printed in the bulletin. Three things that they needed to move forward, to obey God's word here. Number one, they needed a leader to follow. Number two, they need a faith to overcome their fears. And number three, an obedience that leads to action. Right? They need leadership, they need faith, and they need obedience. And I want to look at each of these. So the people need leadership. In order to move forward, they need leadership. They need Moses. But as we've said, they're not quite ready to follow Moses, are they? They're more ready to stone Moses than to follow Moses. They're quite angry at their situation. They are frustrated at what's going on around them, and they take it out on Moses. Look at this, verses 11 and 12. Look at what they come and say to Moses, right? Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done bringing us out of Egypt, right? Can you imagine how hard this must have been for Moses to hear? Moses, it's all your fault. What were you thinking? Do you see the maturity, though, of Moses? You see the humility. You see the love of Moses that he has for his people. He does not respond to them. You ungrateful people. You have no idea all that I have done for you. After all I've gone through for you, the way that I've put myself out there. He doesn't say any of that. Right? He speaks to them in love. Look at his response here. He gets right to the heart of the issue. He says, fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. There is real leadership. There is real leadership. Moses, broken, incomplete human being, but bringing the love, bringing the compassion of God into this situation. He doesn't leave the people in their muck. He doesn't leave them where they are, right? This is the role of a godly leader, to bring God's wisdom to bear on that situation, to bring God's presence into the midst of a desperate situation. He doesn't get into it with them. He reminds them what's good, what's true. See the Lord. There's real leadership. That is the call of Christian leadership, by the way. Right, it's to bring into the situations that God has called us to go, the compassion of God, the love of God, the presence of God. And yes, he works through incomplete, broken people, even like Moses, even the leadership here of our church as well. In order to move forward, they needed a leader to follow. Number two, in order to move forward, they needed a faith to overcome their fears. They've got to trust Moses. More importantly, they have to trust the Lord. As I said, just because the sea is parted does not mean their troubles have gone away. Here's a discussion for you to have afterwards. How many of you would be more afraid to swim into the Red Sea than to walk between two walls of water? I'll tell you what, I'll take my chance of swimming. That takes real faith, to walk between those two walls of water. Faith. Faith is the answer to our fear. Let me say that again. Faith is the answer to our fear. The answer to our fear is not found in ignoring our problems. It's not found in ceasing to think about our trouble. How many of you, right, in the midst of this pandemic, at least at some point, have had to stop reading the news? You stop watching the news. Or you had to maybe take some time off of social media, Facebook, or whatever that is. And that might be actually pretty healthy. Some of you right now maybe really do need to dial back all of the news and everything that you're taking in. But I can tell you, if we're doing that to avoid the issues because we don't want to think about it, that's not the answer. The answer is not to avoid our issues. The answer is faith, is to have a bigger view of who God is, to put our faith in Him. To be clear, maybe some of us do need to dial back. Maybe if we spend as much time reading our Bible as we did reading the news, we would be in a much better position. If we spend as much time in prayer and reading the Bible as we did reading the headlines, we would be in a better position. The challenge we face is to see our current reality in light of God's truth, to think soberly, to think realistically about where we are, to see the problems that we face personally, to see the problems that are facing our country, to see it for what it is, and at the same time, to see the goodness of Jesus Christ, to be assured of the sovereignty of our God, to see our Savior, to remember the cross, to remember that Jesus Christ has stepped fully into our mess. Not only has He stepped fully into our mess, He's taken it on Himself. He has stood in victory over it. Right? That's what we need to have in view. That's what needs to be occupying more of the space out our windshield. It is not ignoring our problems. It is found in fixing our eyes on Jesus. Faith and fear never go together. Church, we need a deeper faith. We need a deeper faith as we step into the unknown. To trust that Jesus is still building His church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We need a deeper personal faith to hold on to those promises. We need a deeper collective faith, a faith to overcome our fears. And number three, we need actual obedience. Actual obedience that leads to action. They actually have to move forward. They actually have to move forward. They can be thankful for their leadership. They can make a good plan. They can work on building up their faith. But at the end of the day, they need to move forward. Obedience means moving. Obedience means action. For God's people, they couldn't stay where they were. Obedience, very often, is simply putting one foot in front of the other. Right? The testimony we heard from Greg this morning, to keep going, to not give up. Obedience is very often just putting the right foot in front of the left foot and the left foot in front of the right foot. Obedience isn't about perfection. It's not about getting it right, having all the right answers. It is moving forward in faithfulness. Too many leaders feel the weight of the world upon them. I can relate to that. They feel the weight of the need to be successful. God has called us to be faithful. Faithful. Obedience means just putting one foot in front of the other. As we seek to move forward to Cornerstone over the next year, there are three areas that we want to move in. Community, mission, and discipleship. Community, mission, and discipleship. And we recognize that our current context dictates that we do something new and do something different with how we're building community, how we're doing mission, and how we're doing discipleship. And we're eager to jump in and to do that. Will you join us in praying? Praying for us as a church that we would be faithful to what God has for us, that we would be looking to Him to build that new kind of community we know that we need to build as we face the challenges that we face, to explore new ways of doing mission, to experience new patterns of discipleship. God's called us to be faithful. God has called us to move forward. Would you pray that God would grant us the faith that we need to move forward as a church, that He would raise up the leaders that we need to follow, that He would implant within us a faith that conquers our fear, and yes, that we would be led into obedience that leads to action. Let me pray for us, and I'll ask the praise team to come up and close out this time together. And Father, we thank You that You not only have saved us for eternity, that we not only know where this story ends and where we are going, but You've not left us alone in the here and in the now, that You continue to lead us individually and personally, that You lead us as a church. God, I pray that You would help us to be faithful in what You have set before us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would press on us even individually this morning what obedience might look like. Lord, I pray for those who are living in fear and living in worry. And God, would you grant to them a faith to overcome those things as we look to you. And so Jesus, meet us where we are as a church. Have your way with us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.